Welcome to the Lizzian Events podcast, and today we're with Dr. Don Harradine, and he's continuing with his Money Talks series. Welcome, Dr. Don.
And it's a pleasure to be here again, Ian. Thank you.
Very popular podcasts. They're really making a lot of headways and taking a great deal of momentum. I am so pleased people find this format very interesting indeed. And of course, it's very expansive. It doesn't just fit with our well-being organisation. It fits with anybody who's got a business, large or small. And today, Dr. Don, you are talking about damage limitation. Very, very interesting indeed. And something really worth listening to. Take every single moment of this podcast, because my goodness, you're going to get some great advice, and it may just help you. If you're just a little bit wobbly at the moment, it might just strengthen you up to make the right choices if you're a little bit unsure or unwary. So over to you, Dr. Don Harradine.
Okay, thank you very much, Ian, for that introduction. And the aim of these podcasts, as you say, is to offer some kind of help to people that are experiencing problems, and particularly today's, which is looking at damage limitation. And I think the best thing that we can say about our economics of today is that what we're doing is holding on, and that's what this is about. And just because we're holding on doesn't mean to say that there aren't things we need to be doing about the future. So it's just to make that point. It is survival, but we need to, as the point that was made in the last podcast, we need to keep planning whatever else happens. And what we're going to be looking at is, again, we'll pick up where we were on the last podcast, which we had a model which made a lot of sense in terms of strategic and day-to-day and tactical, or as we might like to consider the different levels of planning in any business, where we have the strategic, the long term, the tactical, which would be the medium term, and then we have the operational, which is the day-to-day aspects. And the five-pointed star and the use of the elements, you can take that one visualization and you can use that as a complete textbook for every aspect of commerce that you might want to come to. Now, I'd like to make the point before we go into that model and a few other models that you might find useful. And that is, these ideas that we're discussing through the series of podcasts, it doesn't matter what size your business is. Whatever size of the business, the same principles will be there for you to stick to. And sticking to is probably the wrong word, but they are guidance, and you need to take these and interpret them. Whatever size of your business you have, whether you're a sole trader, whether you walk the occasional dog for a living, or whether you have a multi-million pound production company, the same types of thinking apply. So although I may use examples which are for a larger business, what you need to consider is that from whatever size we are, I need to understand that. Now, one of the things that I think we need to consider, and I'll just give you a quick metaphor perhaps that you might find, and this particular metaphor comes from a particular art, Salat, which is a martial art from Malaysia. And the basics of that are, we start off training in the river, and then we go to the riverbank. And then when we think we're good enough, we practice whatever we do on the plateau or the higher ground. And then eventually we have to go back to the river. Then we go to the riverbank, and it's a constant process. And in our business, whatever that is, that's what we need to be doing. So although we may grow, we may well find that we get to a certain point where we think, yeah, everything's looking great. We need to go back to that original point back to where life's difficult again and start again to understand what the business is about and take all of that forward. In a way, very similar to the story that we have about the roast pig. It's that type of thing. We need to constantly be going back to basics and then working up again. So that's something, regardless of size, is something we ought to be doing. Now, going to the five-pointed star model that we had, which I'll quickly go through the various parts of it. The first part we had, or one of the points of the star, was earth, or that basic thing we need to build on. And what we were looking there was profit, medium and long term. And the point I would like to make with regards to profits, certainly when we're looking at damage limitation, is to be completely aware that certainly in the short term, we may well find and we have to accept that we will not be making a profit. In fact, there's a very good chance we'll be making a loss. And as I was talking to Ian earlier, there are certain advantages in making a loss occasionally because you can write that off against your tax burden. So do not be frightened, particularly in the short term, of making a loss. It will be something that you have to live with. But make no mistake, medium to long term, you need to ensure that you are indeed making profits then. But short term, you have to accept and take away the stigma of saying, I'm making a loss. But so long as it's a planned loss, you understand that it's for short term and you understand the reasons for it, then that's okay. If it's happening and you don't understand why it's happening and you can't sort that out, that's a problem. But if you're planning for it, you understand why it's happening in the short term because of the virus, perhaps even because of potential delays in supply chain because of Brexit. So long as you understand that and you have a plan to recover from that, that is fine. We also looked at water, which we said was the constant flow of new ideas and innovation we ought to have in our business. Please make no mistake, for damage limitation, our tendency is to close everything up and panic. But what you need to do is constantly be thinking about what can I innovate? What do I need to do? And certainly, the more problems we have, the more that that becomes the necessary thing to do. You may decide that you need to have ideas for short term just to get you through and then plan after that. So if we think about the idea of we start in the river, go to the riverbank and then the plateau, what we may need to do is we may need to get our hands dirty in the river to get us through the short term, but understanding that eventually we'll get to the riverbank and then we'll get back to the plateau. So always understand that particular part of planning. Fire was one of the other elements we had on our five-pointed star, which was our passion. It was our willingness to do whatever was needed to happen. And that passion in damage limitation to get you through the short-term pressures that you've got, you will need. But, and this is a huge but, and that is you need to start to put some of that fire away and be very objective, to look at things through very much a clinical gaze, so that you're looking at things and saying, hang on, that's bad, I know, but let me see myself through this. And that's the key to it. So fire, that passion, perhaps damage limitation, that's something that has to be dampened down a little bit. I'll be talking later more extensively about the air element, which we were looking at particularly as cash flow. And as we've said in previous podcasts, the idea of the cash flow, without cash flow coming in and out, our business will die very, very quickly. And so attention to that idea of cash flow is the key thing that we need. So this, the final point is this idea of ether, or that final point of the star, that idea of looking above everything called a plateau, that point where we look above the day-to-day and we look at what's happening. Now, I know when we're talking about damage limitation, this may be the last thing that you're thinking about. Yes, you certainly need to be down in that river trying to sort things out, but at the same time, you need to rise above that. You need to have the occasional visit to the plateau to try and understand what's happening. So be aware of that. The bulk of what I'll be talking about with the ether today will be based on the work of quite a famous academic and strategist by the name of Michael Porter. So if you want to go and check out any of his works, he's still alive and works at Harvard University in the States. His work now is considered quite old and some may say dated, but some of his basic models, like many things, although it may be old, it certainly has some relevance. And over the years, I've looked at lots and lots of different models or ways of looking at these things. And I have to say, whenever I do a consultancy of any kind now, I always find that his models are simple, people tend to understand them, and they offer a good perspective from which you can make solutions. Now, one thing that you need to understand in a time of crisis to limit the damage to your organization is to understand what's happening around you. That's the key to it. When everything's falling apart and you're trying to find your way out of the burning building, you need to have a look around to see what's really going on. And that's the key to survival. And that's what we're talking about. There's in the world of Tai Chi, there's a lovely phrase talking with regards to sensitivity, and it's Ting Jing, a Chinese phrase. And Ting Jing is listening energy. And listening is more than just your ears. Listening energy is being completely aware of what's going on around you. So in the world of damage limitation, where we're currently existing, I would suggest that looking around and understanding everything that's happening is critical. Now, we've used a five-pointed star. We're going to use another five-pointed model, or 4 points, and then something in the middle. The part in the middle of this model, or the fifth element of the model, is a product of the others. And all it is competitive rivalry, and we won't talk a great deal about that. The four elements of this model from Michael Porter are suppliers, purchasers, new entrants, and substitutes. So suppliers, purchasers, new entrants, and substitutes. Now, there's nothing magical about this model at all. All it is a frame through which you can look at what's happening around you. Now, the key to damage limitation is to understand what's changing and where, so that you can perhaps make some kind of advantage of it. That's the idea behind it. So all I'll quickly go through those. Now, if we were looking at this from a strategic perspective, what I would say to you is, look at each of these elements from this Michael Porter's Five Forces model, or his industry analysis model, sometimes referred to, or his environmental analysis model, which is another name for it. Look at each of them over a three-year period. And so you wouldn't be interested on how things are now, but what you're interested in is how the dynamics of each of these different areas of your business are likely to change. That's the idea behind it. Now, for damage limitation, my suggestion to you is that what you ought to be considering is how each of these are changing currently. Because things now, once upon a time, the change that would happen in a year is probably now happening in about 2 months, or maybe even less than that. So you need to understand the degree of change so that you can react to it. That's the idea. Now, the chances are, and I would hope this is the case, that as you listen to this podcast, you're saying, yeah, I understand that. I'm doing that anyway. That is perfect. And you can turn the podcast off at this point if that's the case, or, which I often find useful, is if something is confirming what I'm already doing, that, if nothing else, will make you feel better and at least let you understand that what you're doing, there is some validity behind your instincts, which is often a nice confirmation. So if I could start off with suppliers. Now, suppliers, do I need to spell this out? Well, I'll just say it for completion's sake. Suppliers are those that give you or sell you whatever it is you need to survive. And suppliers can be goods or services, or they can actually be people that you actually need to run your business. So if we were to take the example, if you were running events of some kind, then the suppliers would probably, you would regard those as being the people that come along and have stalls at the events that you run, etc. So suppliers is a broad definition. And what I would suggest is you need to understand the dynamics of those people or goods and services that you rely on, and understand what you need to do in a time of crisis for damage limitation, how you look after them to keep them on board, because maybe you need to park them in some way. If you do, as we have with the government's furlough scheme, what do you need to do to keep them to make sure that they'll be ready to be activated when you need them? If you're looking at some kind of supply chain, what do you need to do to make sure that that supply chain keeps running? What do you need to do to make sure that have you got options? So you may have one supply chain, do you need to have that expanded out? I was listening to a radio program this morning, and it was quite interesting. There was a person there that was being badly affected by supply chains because of Brexit. Probably lots of other factors going into it now, but because of the uncertainty that was happening, what this person had done, they had said, okay, I understand that I'm going to have problems with those supply chains. I've now got to start to open up new ones. And that's what they had done. So be aware of that. And damage limitation, make sure things are ready for when you're ready to start up again. Make sure that you're looking after and increasing and reducing the risk that you have. That's what this is all about, really, is trying to reduce risk. That's what it's all about. Purchasers, those people that pay for whatever you do, be aware of what the limitations they now have. How are they going to be changing? Are you finding that because of various crises that you have, how do you limit the damage? Do you have to open up new product lines? Are there things that are occurring, which means that your purchasers, they perhaps haven't got the cash that they did have to spend on what you have? So do you then need to start to look at offers, different ways where you can still keep them interested in your business, but at the same time of keeping them interested in your business, you then need to start to understand what it is you need to do to, in some way, to, this is not the best way to phrase this, but lock them into what you're doing. What can you do? Do you make them special offers? Do you actually give them products whereby there's a continuing need for them? So start to perhaps think about your purchases in different ways. Do you need, but obviously you need to be careful of this, do you need different types of payment methods you can use? So that you need to start to consider. Now, are there new entrants? This is one of the other aspects of this model. Are there new entrants that are likely to come into your area of business? So you need to start to think that through. Now, the chances are, and this is worth considering, because of the state of play with everything, there are very few people, possibly, wanting to start up a new business now, which may mean that there are vacuums in other areas that you might consider moving your activities in to get to take advantage of that vacuum. But associated with this, we need to start to understand the barriers to exit and exit and entry into your type of business. So what I mean by barriers to entry, how difficult is it to actually start up, to come in and compete with what you're doing? Now, the two examples I gave before, if you're a large manufacturing company, I would suggest that, well, maybe, and these are the things that you need to understand. What are these barriers, and are those barriers changing? What you might want to consider is, have people got the money to invest in the production plant, etc., that I'm using? And so it may well be that that could be a problem. One of the big industries in the past where there were huge barriers to entry was the airline industry, where you had to have a lot of money or access to money to actually buy aeroplanes. Then what happened? Well, things changed. The barriers to entry dropped somewhat. Two things happened. One, there was a lot of deregulation of different routes, so there was more competition, so you could come in and get the routes that you needed. Secondly, and a really important point was, which reduced the barriers to entry, was that it became easy to buy very cheap aeroplanes. And also, the big game changer was you could lease aeroplanes, and that made a huge difference to who could come in, and that was the start of low-cost flights, etc., etc. So the industry changed because those barriers changed. Now, if you're at the other end of the scale, if you're a one-person, say, dog walker, as an example, then the barriers to entry, I would suggest, apart from maybe you've got some sort of training that you might want to go through, maybe you have to register, you need insurance, etc. But generally, that's once you've brought your van, you've got various things sorted out, it's very, very easy to set up. The barriers to entry with that could well be that you need a reputation, a good reputation for that type of work. So in that type of thing, you may start to consider, hang on, there's a lot of competition for this. Maybe a lot of people that haven't got work, that they might well want to go into this type of thing. So you may start to find that it becomes very attractive. The costs of entry are very small, and therefore the competition is likely to go up. So as we've talked before, you need a strategy to help you out with that. So understand those barriers to entry. Now, the other part of it is, and this is the important part of damage limitation particularly, is to understand the cost of getting out of a particular industry. And to understand how we get out of this is really important, because you may start to say, well, how do I actually drop off certain aspects of what I do so I can concentrate on another aspect of my business? And you need to have a very clear plan of how you do that. And particularly, and this is where most people go wrong, you need to understand what the costs are of getting out of that particular business. So what is it going to cost me to do that? So that's the key to that particular area. The other thing that I would suggest you need to look at, particularly from this model, is to understand substitutes. Are there various things that people could come in and do, or you could do, which might be substitutes for various other things? And I think the classics we've seen currently are people moving things online. So they're not doing exactly the same thing as they were doing, but they're moving online. And if you are smart, your damage limitation, which means I need to keep my business going, how can I do that? I need to set up PayPal quickly or some other method of payment. I need to do that. My substitute is to move things online and I can keep things running. But you may then find that it's difficult to bring things back to the more face-to-face that perhaps was the main aspect of your business previously. So understand what the substitutes are. And substitutes can be very, very subtle. And I'll give you an example which took me by surprise, but it shouldn't have done really, is that I was talking to my wife and saying, oh, would you like me to order you a new diary for your Filofax? And she said, no, I don't need that anymore because I use my iPhone. That's got a diary facility on it. So substitutes can come in lots of forms. And so you need to be aware for your business, your industry, exactly what those particular substitutes might be. One, so that you perhaps can take advantage. And secondly, as damage limitation, you can try to do something about that. So that's looking very generally at how you need to plan for damage limitation. And a nice simple model there from Michael Porter, which I think is useful for that. Now, just to finish off the podcast, I'd like to talk about, just to finish off the podcast, I'd like to talk about the element of air or cash. This thing that we need to breathe in and out. It's the oxygen supply of our business. We need to understand that completely. I've said before about the importance of being able to come up with a cash plan or a cash budget. And all I would say a few things about that. The first is, when you decide on the degree of problems you're going to have with cash, and you establish your cash budget, and your accountant will be able to help you with that if that's a problem, all you need is to say, over the next few months, what cash have I got coming in? When does that come in? When's it likely to go out? How do I cope with the problems if there's a mismatch between those two somewhere? The first warning I would give with that is, whatever you think the length of the problem is going to be, add 50% onto it. Be, no political statement here, but be very conservative. Always underestimate what's coming in. Always overestimate what's going out. Always overestimate the length of the problem. Once you've done that, then please don't create enemies with the people you purchase things from and people you're selling to because of the cash problems you might have. Work with them to overcome it. And that's the key to damage limitation, if nothing else. What we get from Michael Porter's model, what we get from common sense is, we need to work with other people to get us through the problems we've got. By working with those people that we need, we're helping them and they're helping us. That's the key. Any person that thinks that they can be as mean as they possibly can to everyone and still survive this, that's not, they have a poor understanding of humanity and the business world, I would suggest. The second key warning I would have is, please understand your costs. And I see that in two categories. And I would suggest that a thing that's often referred to as stepped costs. It could be, if I give an example of a warehouse. A warehouse has a cost regardless of whatever you put in it. So that's a fixed cost for a certain point in time. When you fill that up, you may find that you need to have a step up in cost to buy yourself or rent a new warehouse. Now, that's important to understand where you are on that step before you make the big step up. But it's also important that you understand that you haven't got assets that are lying around a half-empty warehouse that you're just keeping for whatever reason that you don't actually need. So understand what you actually need and what you don't need. So perhaps you can come down in those cost steps. Many consultancies I've done in all types of areas, it's been incredible how people manage to save because they don't understand where they are on those cost steps. So that's the first one. Secondly is, there is a very good chance that you have to jettison things for cash very, very quickly. So this is, I've touched on this before, relevant costs. Relevant costs are those costs that are relevant to the decision that you're making. And the key to this is we all get hung up on what we've spent in the past. Now, just because you may have spent a lot of money on stock in the past that you can't get rid of if you sell it at the usual price, you may have to bite that bullet and say, okay, I'm now going to sell this off at cost or even below cost. Why? Because it's doing nothing. It's an asset. It has value now because you need it for cash. Now, you can't run your business long term like that, but certainly for short term, you need to get rid of things so that you can bring that cash in very, very quickly. So that's the last point I wish to make about air or cash. The very last point is on earth, and this is that profit. Always be aware that whatever problems you're going through, it's short term. And I will reiterate exactly what I've said before. Your profits, medium to long term, are essential. But please understand that short term, you may have to make that loss. And this is very much a change in mental attitude. If your business has been absolutely stupendous for many years, understand it's likely to be in the future, as long as you plan properly. But certainly in the short term, you have to be prepared to take that knock. That, I think, is where I'd like to finish this particular podcast. Hopefully you found that useful. And perhaps next time we might look at how we manage change after we've come through these particular problems. Thank you very much. And I hope you found that useful.
Yes, fantastic, Dom. Absolutely brilliant. Now, Dom, I've got a couple of questions that arise before we conclude.
Yes.
I always think it's wise to have a backup contingency plan. And the plan that I've operated and Liz and I have operated for the last 17 years is we have a reserve. And the reserve is based on how much we actually need to live. So it doesn't really make any difference. In fact, it becomes more difficult. The bigger the house you've got, the bigger your personal overheads, the more your reserve you need. Now, you might have an amount of personal money, which will cover that if worst comes to the worst. But the key is the moment that you have to start introducing reserve money to keep a business afloat is the time that you should seriously consider closing the business. There are so many people who have made the mistake of having a long run, years, for example, of trading quite healthily, then it slips and it goes downhill. Now, it slips and goes downhill, it's got to be telling you something that the business may no longer be viable. Just because it's worked incredibly well for many years does not mean that the dynamics of that business has changed. For example, people have been trading on the high street for years and now Amazon is absolutely decimating their trade, decimating it. And no matter what they do, they may well find the fact that you can shop on a Saturday night on Amazon, have it delivered on a Sunday, means that somebody says, well, I can't be bothered to drive into Nottingham. So make absolutely certain that if you are impinging upon your reserve, then consider the very worst. I know that's hard, but it must be considered. The other thing that I would suggest to people is to remember that stock value actually has an increased value. So say you bought item X for £100 and you've had it on stock for a year and a half. One, it's telling you that the stock doesn't sell well, so don't restock it. But also you must remember that the value of that stock has not decreased, it's increased because you will have storage price onto it. And many people ignore the fact that you pay for storage. Warehouses are full of stock that's just stayed there and it's got a stock price on it. So if you think that your stock is actually increasing in cost value, then it may pay you to consider moving it on and move on the oldest stock first. The older the stock means that it doesn't have a great deal of appeal. Therefore, sell it cheap and turn it into stock that does sell. And the third point that I would suggest to you is that when you listen to all of Don's podcasts, there is some very hard messages in there, in all of them. And if you find yourself becoming a little bit uptight when you listen to something, it's telling you that you need to address it. Do not, under any circumstances, and I talk from bitter experience from many years ago, do not be afraid to address the most difficult of situations. If you have creditors, speak to them. Don't walk away from them. If you've got a problem, deal with it, because if a problem has arisen in business, it is there and it is not going to go away, and usually it will be reoccurring. So my four Pennyworth, but just something that worthy of consideration. Any comments on any of those, Dom?
In full agreement with those points. The first one that you made is absolutely the key in times like this and in good times as well. What happens is people start a business, it's successful, they never bother to look around them. This idea of tinging, this listening energy, this idea of understanding your environment, but particularly understanding the trends. Watch how things are moving, what's changing where. And that's why many businesses that were successful, they go under. If we have a look at what happened with Philip Green and Topshop, etc., why did that go under? Well, lots of fingers you can point, but primarily because you had a person or persons that weren't looking at what was happening around them. That's why it happened. They could have still been good businesses there if they just looked at the environment and realized that the wind was changing, that the tide was changing. So you then need to actually change the sail direction that you have, no pun intended. But that's what you need to do. A good business person is constantly looking at the environment, looking at the opportunities, but particularly looking at what's changing. That's the key to it. I absolutely agree with that. That is the key. I talked to family members. They will say exactly the same as you. I told the story in a very early podcast, talking to my father, when I said to him, he said, what have you been looking at business school? And I said, well, I've been my master's degree, I've been looking at, you need to understand the environment. He said, what do you mean? I said, you need to understand what other people are doing and what's happening and what's selling and what's not. And he said, it was a very awkward conversation, because he said, you've gone to business school to learn that. The businesses of the future, and I'm not making any environmental claim here, but they will have to be sustainable, in sustainable the broadest sense. They will have to be there for long term. They will have to make sure that they look after their people. They will have to make sure that they look after the world in which their business exists.
Yeah, because there has to be a cascade of wealth, and the likes of Amazon have removed the cascade of wealth. You need to have small businesses, small one-man bands and things of that nature to make the whole of society's economy thrive. And I would say if you run a small business and you buy from Amazon, ask why you've done so. And later, when your small business starts to collapse or break down, ask again why that has happened, and you may well find the answer. Sorry to have encroached upon your podcast on those few notes.
No. They're absolutely vital things. And it is that this podcast is all about damage limitation, but damage limitation is all about and understanding what you're doing long term and how you survive in that long term, and that is key to it. And I think your point that you make is excellent with regards to, you know, people hold on to businesses that they shouldn't. Everything has a life. You know, people, trees, they exist for a certain time in an environment, and occasionally you have to let them go and create something new in its place. And that something new in its place, if you have a business and you find that it's not making what it should, then what you need to say is, well, do I need to put that business to rest? But don't do it in a negative way. Say, okay, I'm going to close that down, but then recreate this out of what I bring from that. And that's a very positive way to look at it, because everything has its time. Everything has that sell-by date. So every business, you know, I'm old enough to remember when Saturday night the big deal was to go to the video shop. So that had its time. The clever people moved on to other things, but some weren't quite that, how can I put it, understanding of the environment. And they lost everything. So you need to understand those ebbs and flows of society, technology, what will work and what won't work. It's absolutely vital.
Great. So, Dom, thank you very, very much indeed. And I look forward to speaking to you next week.
Okay. Thank you very much. And bye-bye.